For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. This podcast is recorded and produced on the lands of the Djabal and Djerriwarr peoples. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, their elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to the third podcast in our series called Voice of the GP, in which we talk with GPs from across the country about their practice, their challenges and their triumphs. Today my special guest is Dr. Lilon Bandler, a working GP, medical educator and researcher, and a long-time supporter, mentor and program developer for Indigenous medical students and practitioners. Lilon has also worked with the Royal Flying Doctors Service, delivering health services in remote New South Wales and South Australia. These days, Lilon is collaborating with the Wayside Chapel in Sydney to establish a health service on site at their King's Cross headquarters, delivering primary care to Wayside visitors. It's a project that she says gives her an opportunity to bring a lot of threads together. I'm delighted to have Dr. Lilon Bandler as my special guest today. You've got a new enterprise, or new-ish, I think. How long have you been at Wayside?
Well, I've been formally employed here since the beginning of 2022. We've been having conversations since about the middle of 2019, so pre-COVID.
Was that your idea or did they come to you?
A bit of everything. So it just seemed to evolve. They'd already done a lot of work setting up a nurse-led primary healthcare service, and they'd really thought about the need of the visitors to Wayside Chapel. And they'd also given quite a lot of thought, I guess unusually, for a community primary healthcare service to clinical governance. And then I came along and they had, as I say, they had that nurse-led primary healthcare service going. Mm-hmm. And I came along and started to talk to them about how I might support them. And from there, over the last few years, it's just gradually coalesced. That nurse clinic has closed, and so that, in a way, gave them all of that information that they'd gathered in that clinic and prior to establishing it to really inform what we will now take forward. And so at the beginning of the year, they actually took me on to prepare a case to put to Wayside Chapel Board. So that took quite a lot of thinking and work and background information seeking. And
so is it still kind of like a pilot?
Yes.
Right.
I think so. I think, and we haven't started seeing patients as yet. We'll probably start September, October. We're still setting up clinic space and also having quite significant conversations around process and referral pathways and how we will recognise and address the particular needs of the people who come to Wayside Chapel.
So tell us about the demographics of that patient group or those visitors.
So those most have a history of trauma, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. Many and probably most have mental health conditions, which then overlay some quite complex healthcare needs. Many are homeless or at least accommodation insecure, and a lot of food insecurity, background history of incarceration, drug use, sex work. And they have different groups of people. There are people who come really to the community of Wayside Chapel, you know, frequently, often. This is really where they feel they are safe and can belong and have a sense of been taken in by Wayside Chapel.
Because, of course, Wayside supplies food, shelter, bedding, etc. Yeah.
And kindness and care and interest.
Non-judgment, I would imagine.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's really embedded in the DNA of Wayside Chapel, which, you know, has been going a long time.
It has, yeah.
And I suspect will go for a long time more. Having said that, healthcare service delivery is very new for Wayside Chapel, so that's really why we're doing a lot of work before we definitely put our footprint down.
There's a lot of paperwork involved in setting up any GP clinic, let alone one where you are.
Yes, that is correct. I'm in the throes of developing policies and procedures.
Accreditation.
I know that every GP will recognise that term. And having said that, though, that is actually important to us. Accreditation is important for us because it reassures not only people outside of Wayside Chapel, but people within Wayside Chapel that we are being thoughtful, we are really laying down our thinking and making clear and being transparent and accountable in these processes.
And I suppose it sends the message that they're worth the effort.
And I think that that's really important. I think that the message, I suspect that, and certainly it's been described to me by many of them, the message that Wayside visitors get when they attend healthcare services is, you're a bit of a pain, you're a bit of a nuisance, I'm going to do the best I can, but, we've only got 15 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's certainly part of what we would seek to turn around.
I'm guessing that your aim is not going to be to make money.
No. So,
yeah.
Look, there are many good local healthcare services here in this area. And
Are you at King's Cross or down at Bondi?
So we're going to start at King's Cross, become established, and then think about extending and how we extend and what we extend to Bondi. And, all of the Wayside visitors will be bulk billed, so there'll be no fee for them. But to run a private general practice as a financially viable enterprise inevitably means, particularly if you're bulk billing, inevitably means high turnover, short duration, essentially largely transactional interactions. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes in with their list. I, as the GP, have my list, and we negotiate a bit about which bits we're going to agree on, and then people leave. And so we're really looking to change that model, which means we've had to rethink the funding model. So it will be salaried clinical staff rather than fee for service. That's usual for nursing staff, but not for GPs. And we're really looking to have a culture of long consultations. And the idea that you build therapeutic relationship.
Is there something that the corporate world of general practice could learn from this model?
I think so. I think that there are a few things. I think that highly transactional model is not actually what we teach registrars to value, but it is what they end up having to deliver. And it's also, frankly, what they're assessed on. So, an 8-minute station within an assessment panel really doesn't test how good are you at teasing out the intricacies of a complex medical history and develop a relationship with a therapeutic relationship across time. How we think about general practice could do with some rethinking.
For sure. What's the demographic in terms of Indigenous patients coming through?
In terms of Wayside visitors, about 30% of the visitors are Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander. And I think that's an interesting thing to reflect on in and of itself. I think, clearly 3% of the population and probably even less within New South Wales are Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Australians. So that's a big proportion of our Wayside visitors. And I think that also informs some of the thinking for the practice. So really valuing the idea of culturally safe care and thinking about what that means every day for each of the clinical staff and also what it means for people that we work with.
I was talking this morning with Michelle Kennedy and Raglan Maddox about helping Indigenous women quit smoking, particularly when they're pregnant. And they've done a whole The Which Way study. And it's basically about asking the women what they want and asking what support they want. And, of course, the answer is everybody's different, but you've empowered them to say what they want. Yes. Is that part of how your culturally safe practice is empowering
the
patient?
Our culturally safe practice?
Yeah.
It's also part of the ethos to recognise that what we think as GPs, you as our patients should want or should need, may well be quite different to what you actually want and need.
Yes.
But that's a process of having a conversation, teasing some of that out, and then finding the points of negotiation so that you actually meet somebody's needs, not just your own, as a clinician.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Lilon Bandler about her latest project, establishing a health service at the Wayside Chapel in Sydney. Wayside Chapel is, of course, a safe place for people who need care, providing hot meals, shelter, clothing, showers, legal and medical aid, and other services to those in need. If you are so inclined, there are many ways to help Wayside provide that care, and we urge you to check out their website at waysidechapel.org.au to find out how you can donate. Meanwhile, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can catch up with our back catalogue at mja.com.au/podcasts. And you can subscribe to our upcoming episodes by searching for the Medical Journal of Australia on your favourite podcast platform. Back to our chat with Lilon. You've done a lot of work remotely, rurally, in the regions with Indigenous communities, etc. Obviously, with your history, your mother was a legend of Indigenous activism. Is that what drew you to this model at Wayside, or is there more than that involved?
I'm a descendant of South Sea Islanders. I often think of myself as the grandchild of a slave and the daughter of a refugee. So I'm not Indigenous, but you're right, I've worked in Indigenous health education for a long time, and I've also, as you say, delivered healthcare services, particularly in remote, far western New South Wales, a little bit in South Australia. And so I have thought about a lot of these things in the past. However, I'd have to say that that's not particularly the point that pulled me to Wayside. I think the things that attract me about Wayside are a few. I think their longevity in the space is admirable. I think there are a lot of people who come and go from difficult spaces, and they've really pulled the miles here. So I think that's part of it. I think that, I mean, I have a small sort of personal history and personal sort of attachment to Wayside in that when I was a teenager last century.
Me too.
When I was a teenager, I used to come here quite close to where Wayside Chapel is and have German lessons. And to her credit, my long-suffering mother would meet me for morning tea after those lessons. I was very bad at doing my vocab, but she would meet me and we would meet at Wayside and have morning tea there. So I've always, and she knew Reverend Tednoff, so I've always felt that sort of connection to Wayside. But I have to say too, I guess there's a deep sense of commitment to caring at Wayside. Yeah. I don't want to romanticise this, but I've had some really extraordinary conversations here, and I'm very, I guess I'm inspired by people's commitment because it reaffirms my own. And there's really an extraordinary and deep understanding, which is informed every day they work with Wayside visitors, of the social determinants of health. That term has real meaning for every single worker here. And so I don't need to explain the broader social context, the political context of healthcare ever.
Yeah.
I guess the other sort of thing about that is that that shared ethos across the workforce is something I would really like to be part of, because, you know, I see someone in a consultation and I deliver the very best care I can. And the moment they leave my room, I have no control over anything.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like here, when they leave the clinical space, they walk back into Wayside, because we'll actually be on site. They walk back into that community that they know and they trust, and that I can know and trust as well. And I guess that it's that integration of engaged, authentic, compassionate, empathetic care, both at a clinical and a psychosocial political level, that I feel at home in and I look forward to being a continuing part of.
I'd like to tell the listeners who obviously can't see your face, Lillian, that from the moment you started that sentence to the finish, you were smiling. So, I mean, that tells me that it's very central to what you do and how you operate.
Yes, yeah. It is. I guess it always has been, but yeah, there's an opportunity to actually make that more real.
Is that what got you into general practice in the first place?
You probably should edit this bit out, but I got into general practice by accident, discovered that actually this was where I should have always been.
Were you practicing other kinds of medicine beforehand?
Lots of other kinds of medicine.
Right.
And really had no idea where to direct myself. Yeah. And as I say, ended in general practice by accident. And then, and I can remember about 3 months into my first placement, my supervisor at the time was Professor Simon Wilcock. I was a lucky person. And yes. I just remember having a conversation at the end of a very busy clinical day where he turned to me and said, "So this is really for you, isn't it, Lillian?" And he was right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it is partly because it is that sort of, that sense that you have an opportunity to be of service.
And yes.
To me,
yes.
That's a really important part of being in medicine.
And you never see the same thing twice, really, do you?
No, never. It's the passing parade of humanity.
It really is. It really is. So when Wayside is up and running with this clinic, is it going to be just you? You're going to have more than one GP?
So we'll also have nurses, and we would hope to have Aboriginal health workers as well. So right. Really a team. I think part of the Wayside ethos almost is a recognition that one person on their own is really not going to cut it. And and I think certainly in this work, having a clinical team is important. And there are actually a lot of really good healthcare services in the area.
Yes.
So we're in the process of having conversations with them and working out how we will work with them and how we will complement what is already delivered and how we'll make sure that we all communicate well and actually provide that sort of sense that things are interconnected. We're very close to St Vincent's, but actually Wayside visitors also go to Prince of Wales Hospital and to Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. But, you know, they're big quaternary referral centres, and really we're looking to actually pull all of that information and all of the things that they're often referred to those centres for into some sort of meaningful healthcare navigation for a Wayside visitor.
Can you ever see yourself retiring, Lil?
I think there are advantages to being what's now called a senior clinician, in that I think all the work I've done in the past informs what I do now. But look, I think really, yes, I will retire. I think it, you know, I think it will be sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. But I think too that I just want to enjoy this time. I feel like all the threads that have been part of putting this person, me, together, actually have an opportunity to be of use.
You've been of use all your life, Lillian.
And, you know, I know that I don't want to pretend that I haven't had good work opportunities in the past. I think that I've been a very fortunate person in my career, but this is, I guess, an opportunity to bring a lot of threads together.
You're queen for the day, Lillian. How do you fix general practice? Because the profession's in a bit of trouble at the moment, isn't it?
I think that's right. I do think it is in a bit of trouble, and I think that's partly it's having a bit of an identity crisis. I think it needs to really take the moment to actually step aside and reflect on what a GP wants to do. I think if I had three wishes, that's what you get whenever you step into the magic cave and become queen, I'd change the funding. I think a lot of what we see in general practice is determined by the funding model.
Oh,
and I think it's deeply flawed in the way it's delivered, in the size of the remuneration, and in the way we think about it in the private healthcare sector. We need to actually, going back to my earlier point, we need to actually assess what we teach. We think it's important to be engaged and authentic and deliver high quality clinical care. So we need to assess that and not assess the sort of, can you get it all done in 8 minutes?
Yeah.
That's something we've thought about quite deeply here, is a recognition of the challenges that all clinicians actually face, and then going from that to actually embedding support of your staff, recognising the need in terms of education and training, in terms of workplace safety and assessment of workload, and in terms of supervision and reflection. So as a senior clinician, I still think I need supervision and that opportunity for reflection on my practice to improve.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts, or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.